In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Sprosnikam! Or as we say in English, joyous feast. You know, some people come to me and they ask, like, man, the Old Testament's hard to read. And it really is. I mean, there's some stuff in there that is kind of like, you know? Some people came with this heresy thinking maybe there's a different God in the Old Testament because it seemed so different. And I think the reason for that, and that was a heresy, by the way, there's only one God. I think the reason why we struggle with that is because things are so dark in the Old Testament. There's a lot of murder, many wives, people lying, adultery, conquering places, you know, slaying entire peoples, genocide, a lot of awful things. And it's because the world was literally kind of held in this cloud of darkness. You know, there's darkness everywhere, and yet God, in his mercy, picked for himself. I often wonder, like, why did he pick Abram? Well, he's fertile soil. He's someone that God could work with. So God goes, I'm going to work with you. And sure enough, he did. He worked with God. And there's this gradually revelation of a thing that was to come. Eventually, God gave the law to his people as a schoolmaster, as Paul called it. He called the law a schoolmaster. He was like teaching them, getting them ready for something that was coming. And then in the right time, there came a prophet, the greatest of all prophets in the spirit of Elijah. Who's that? John the Baptist, right? And I don't know if you noticed, but on some of his icons, he has wings. Do you ever wonder why? Why does he have wings? He didn't actually have wings. So why did he have wings? It's because in those images, it depicts a messenger. He's bringing a message. He's bringing the message of the coming of the Messiah. It's imminent. He's here. You know, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I baptize you with water, but someone's going to come who's going to baptize you with the Spirit. And so just like John the Baptist is depicted with wings, what else do we see depicted with wings? Archangel Gabriel. Now, they probably do have wings, because in our hymnody we say they're born upon their pinions, right? They're born on their wings. But that also, too, represents something. They're messengers. Especially the Archangel Gabriel is a messenger. He comes bearing witnesses. We heard it in the prologue last night. We read it. He always comes bringing messages to people. Moses and Joseph and, of course, the Theotokos, the most prominent and memorable one at the Annunciation. What is his message? Look inside of the icon here. What is that? It's an X, Christos. If you look on that icon, it's both of them. Christos, he's talking about Christ. So what the Archangel Gabriel is constantly doing is preaching about Christ to everybody. And so as the world was soaked in darkness and brutality and violence, he says, here comes the Christ, the Son of living God, incarnate, the pre-eternal Word. He's going to be enfleshed. He's going to walk among us. He's going to die. He's going to rise from the dead and ascend into heaven. That's good news. That we would call that a gospel. You know, that's the gospel. You know, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling death by death, and we no longer have to live under the tyranny of sin and death. We find out that in Christ, that darkness is broken, and in the midst of that darkness, light emerges. The light of hope, the light of love. We see things like fear being replaced by hope. We see anger being replaced with kindness. We see death being replaced by life. We see despair being replaced by hope, and sin replaced by holiness, and sorrow being replaced by joy in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are here today because of that message of those who came before us. Believe it or not, we are here today because at one point in time, almost 2,000 years ago, the Archangel Gabriel visited a virgin in Israel and said, blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of you, you will born the Savior of the world. And of course she says, no, it's not possible, I'm a virgin. He's like, no, trust me, you will. You know, consider your cousin Elizabeth. And because of that, we are here today. This temple exists today. Christianity exists today because Archangel Gabriel visited Theotokos and she said yes. And because of that message, we are here today. We have heard the words that Christ has risen and we've believed. And in that belief, the darkness in our own lives slowly fades away. We find ourselves basking in light, the light of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So now we have the message ourselves. It wasn't just the message that Archangel Gabriel gave to all these people, to Moses and to all these people, and to the Theotokos and to Joseph. It's the message that we have it now. We are the carriers of that message. It's in us. It's not just a word that we have. It is light that lives inside of us, that dwells inside of us, that we are to bring into the world. And like I said last night, we have our holy patron, the Archangel Gabriel, as someone that watches over us, the great champion of the hot body of this host and all these things, but also we are to emulate him. That's why churches have patrons, not just to watch over them, but to show them how they ought to be. And so when we consider this feast day today and the fact that Archangel Gabriel is our patron, the one whom we look to, the one whom we pray to and ask for protection and guidance, to help us with building the temple, to help us with repentance, to help us with our families. If we don't just watch him from a distance, we try to be like him. As a parish, right? We try to emulate our personal saints. But as a parish, corporally, we try to be like him. We try to be like the Archangel Gabriel. So what does that look like? What does it look like to take that message of the gospel into the world, to be a messenger for us to be born up on our own wings, to go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations? And it begins like this, my friends. It begins by not living in darkness. How can you preach that which you do not know? How can you preach that? How can you carry a message that you do not self-embody? If you are living in darkness, how can you preach the light? St. James, I love St. James. When I was a teenager, that was my favorite book of the New Testament. Wisdom literature, you know, St. James' epistle is written very much like the Proverbs in Ecclesiastes. But he says something in his first chapter, the first part of his book. He says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That's pure and undefiled religion. So when you hear someone say, I hate religion, like, you hate that? It's like, you can't hate that. That's awesome. You know, it's like, well, you hate the other stuff that's not really, you know, that's cultish and weird and stuff. And so we are called to love one another, to visit those who cannot, to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. That's what the widows and the orphans were, by the way. It's not just specifically them, but there were the widows and orphans at the time of James were those who had no power, they had no voice, they had no agency, they were poor, they were disenfranchised, they were cast aside. And so we find those, we give to those who cannot give anything back to us. We've talked about what love is. What is love but to give to someone without expecting anything in return? Pure benevolence. Here, I love you. You have nothing to give me back. I'm going to love you. So that's pure and undefiled religion. And then to keep oneself unstained by the world. You know, Christ came. I love this about Christ. There's many things I love about Christ. But the one thing I love about him is that he would say, you've heard it said this, but I tell you this, right? He's constantly kind of peeling back the layers. You've heard it said that thou shalt not commit adultery, but I tell you, if you so much as look at a woman with lust in your eyes, then you have committed adultery. You've heard it said, do not commit murder, but I tell you, if you do this. He's constantly pulling back the curtain and saying, no, look, this is the true light, to live this life unstained by the world, to live a life that is holy, only possible through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are called today to live a very specific way. We live the fact that we are freed from sin and death, that the darkness of the world has been dispelled, that the Christ has come, he has risen, and he ascended into heaven, and that we have the Comforter with us now. Take care of one another. Remain unstained by this passing world. Doesn't mean, it's like to be in the world but be no part of it. To exist in the world doesn't mean, you know, the Benedict option, you know, go run into the woods necessarily, but not that that's wrong, but be in the world, but be no part of it. Walk among them without being stained. To live a holy life. And then look for opportunities to do good in the name of Christ. Live a life that we were talking about this last night, Father Deacon and I, is that if you were to be put on trial today for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? Would they? I'm going to share a really brief story that I shared with Father Deacon last night. Years ago, I used to work at a motorcycle shop when Matushka and I were freshly married. And this guy came in, he was all angry because they messed up his motorcycle. And they did. And they were like, we were wrong. You have every right to be angry. Give us your motorcycle. We're going to fix it. Come back tomorrow, be all ready. And the mechanic made it a top priority, fix the guy's motorcycle, fix the air. The guy came back the next day and he said, I'm sorry I got angry at you yesterday. That was wrong. Forgive me for losing my temper. That wasn't fair. And my coworker's like, huh? What is this? And I turned to him and I said, what church do you go to? Be that man. Have a life that live a life so at odds with the spirit of this age and the spirit of the world that people know you're a Christian without you having to put a bumper sticker on your car. At all times, preach the gospel by your words, your deeds, your thoughts, and your actions, and the way you love one another. And let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hear the words of Christ and then do them, as we heard today in the gospel. And there's still much darkness in the world. I think we can all agree on that. I haven't met a single person who is sane that didn't say, yeah, the world's pretty bad right now. It's pretty dark. There's a lot of anger, a lot of anxiety, a lot of tension, brother fighting brother, wars, rumors of wars, all these things. And so we know that there's still very much a need for that darkness to be dispelled. And if anyone's going to do it, who other than us? Be that light in the world. Be that kind person in the grocery store. Be that person who is patient. Be that guy who comes back and says, I'm sorry I snapped at you, even though I was fully justified in being angry. Be that person to pay for someone's groceries. When you're standing in line, pay attention. I will tell you, my friends, the world wants you to be distracted. It wants you to be looking on your phone and worrying about what's coming next. And it wants you to think about the bill you've got to pay and the tuition that's due and that health issue and that argument you had with a friend. It wants you to be distracted because when you're standing in the grocery line, if you're not paying attention, you're not going to see that elderly woman in front of you who can't afford the food that she's trying to buy and that opportunity you have to buy that food for her. So pay attention. Be the light in the world. Love one another. Give yourself one another. Turn from evil and do good, as the psalmist says, and I love this. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace, pursue it. And I will end with this, my friends. The most practical thing that you can do as a Christian, lived religion, lived theology, manifest theology in your life. Just do the next good thing. Look for good to do in the name of Christ. Like I said, if you're distracted by your phone or you're distracted by politics, politics. If you're distracted by all these things and you won't see those opportunities to do good, to love your neighbor, to be kind, to care for the widow and the orphan, and to live a life unstained by the spirit of this age, to be different, dare to be different than everyone else. Dare to be like Christ. And above all, well, especially on this feast day, above all, be like Christ, but secondarily, be like the Archangel Gabriel and bring that message of the gospel into the world. Be the one that holds the name of Christ. C-N-I-C-X-E, Ixus Christos. Be that one that carries that. Be that. Let that discourse be right here on you as you walk into the world and let them see Christ shining in you and give glory to God. So may God bless us as we... It's a big, tall order, I just said, isn't it? It's like, whoa, Father Peter, I don't know if we can do this, you know. Oh. We can't, but with God, all things are possible. Have faith. He will give us everything we need. The Holy Spirit is with us and will empower us to do all good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.